Arizona isn't just in our name. It's our home, too. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona is taking action for better health right here in Pima County. We're mobilizing resources to help make a difference in critical health issues, and we're offering new health plans for individuals and families in 2019. It all adds up to a healthier you, healthier community, a healthier Pima County. Here to protect what matters most, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. Live fearless.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, episode 142. I'm Justin Spears here with Michael Lev. Again, if you are listening to this podcast, you're listening to on Apple Podcasts or the Wildcaster app or on Facebook Live. It is Monday. We are here at Arizona Stadium for Kevin Sumlin's pre-Oregon press conference. Michael, interesting presser, I would say. Seemed like a frustrated Kevin Sumlin, but at the same time, he took away some positives from the UCLA game. But at the end of the day, like he said, it just wasn't enough to get the win. What did you take away out of today's presser?
Yeah, I think the big topic is what's going to happen to quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Asked Kevin about Khalil's situation, and he said they're going to figure it out tonight, you know, and they might have a concrete answer by the end of the evening. You know, their players are off on Sunday, so, you know, Khalil will come into the facility and they'll talk to him and examine him and, you know, maybe do some tests or something on that ankle to see how it's feeling. There's a few different scenarios that could happen, right? Khalil could come back this week and he could look like his old self. He could come back this week and not quite be what he was last year. They could hold him out another week and then bring him back for that Friday game against Colorado. Or they could hold him out for the next 2 weeks, and then they have a bye, and then maybe bring him back for the last couple games of the season and really, really, truly make sure that he's 100% and good to go. So I don't know how that's going to play out. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to find out. Require some creative reporting, since Kevin Sumlin doesn't have any scheduled media availability for the rest of the week. There's no Pac-12 coaches conference call this particular week, so we'll see. I don't know. What do you think they should do? Let's put it that way.
I don't know. We don't know how severe his ankle injury is. I mean, we could just go off of what we've seen over the last few weeks. And, you know, there were times where Khalil looked like he could barely even put any pressure on his ankle. And then there was times where he would rush for 7 yards and then pop right back up and get to the huddle. So I don't really know what his ankle is like right now. But, I mean, with a week's rest, I think with him being able to still practice a little bit and not be completely, what'd you say? Did he chill?
I asked Kevin if he practiced or if you just told him to chill. And Kevin was like, I don't do that. I don't tell guys to do that.
Chill.
He said he was involved and he was engaged and he was around and all of those things. And you saw him, you know, during the game, he didn't have a boot on, you know, he was just walking around. So, you know, it's never been, you know, except for that, you know, one period during Utah, it's never been a thing where he couldn't play. He just couldn't play like himself.
Yeah.
You know, they showed those highlights of last year's UCLA game, you know, during the broadcast when I rewatched it. And man, I mean, there were, you know, that one play. Remember, he bobbled the snap a little bit. He avoided a defender, put his foot in the ground, and he just accelerated through everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was like going at a different speed. Like, it was like something out of a sci-fi movie almost. And we just haven't seen that from him this year, where he's that, you know, I've talked about this, like him being the best athlete on the field, you know, physically and also like mentally believing I'm the best athlete on the field and I can, you know, I can do anything out here. We just haven't seen that from him. And I wonder if 1 week is enough, you know, and then if you bring him back against Oregon, then you've got a short week the following week, you know, heading into the Colorado game. So I don't know. If I were to just guess right now, I'm going to guess that he gets held out for another week.
Yeah. Sit out for another week?
Yeah.
You think? Mm-hmm. You don't think there's any added motivation, the fact that it's Oregon, a top 25 team, one of the better teams in the Pac-12?
I mean, what more motivation could Khalil have than, you know, playing at home last week against UCLA? I'm sure he wanted to play. But, you know, when you're in the position that Kevin Sumlin's in, you have to do what you think is best for the player and what's best for the team, right? So, you know, last week he was like, we just can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. He needs to rest. He needs to get better. You know, he talked about it at the time as being a 1 week deal, but then he said today we need to reassess it. Mm-hmm. You know, and the time to do that is later on today, when they meet, when they have practice. And, you know, we'll see what we can find out about that.
I mean, but if Khalil Tate isn't ready to go, and big if, we don't know what it's going to be like this week for Arizona. Rhett Rodriguez got off to a slow start against UCLA. However, he did make some plays towards the end of the game that gave Arizona a chance to win. I still don't think Rhett Rod is enough for Arizona to even compete against Oregon, even though he impressed last week.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about that. Like, Oregon, as you know, Coach Sumlin referred to, they've got a lot of talent, right? I mean, they have maybe the number one pick in next year's draft, or if he decides to stay in the 2020 draft, in Justin Herbert. He said they have maybe the best secondary in the league, or among the best in the nation. You know, they've got tons of speed and playmakers. How do you counter that if you're Arizona? I mean, you need to have some special playmakers yourself, right? And last year, there was no more special playmaker in the country than a healthy, engaged, and aggressive Khalil Tate. You know, if you bring him back this week, is he going to be that player, or is he going to be the player that we saw kind of hobbling around and not playing with the same level of confidence, you know, that we saw last year? I don't know. This is a really tall order. The line came out, and Oregon was favored by 9. I think it went up to 9.5. I was surprised it wasn't more, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I could,
especially considering last week, because they lost to Washington State. Yeah, no, like, this is a pissed off Oregon team. Yeah,
right. You know, they're going to be super motivated after what happened last week. And I mean, you know, if Arizona was fully healthy, if they had Jace Whitaker, if you could tell me Leith Freck was fine, if Nathan Eldridge was in the mix, which he hasn't been all season, I would think maybe they got a chance to spring an upset. But missing all of those guys, and you know, the quarterback situation being what it is, it's gonna be rough. I mean, they're gonna have to you know, get some takeaways, make some plays on special teams, hope that Oregon's got some sort of hangover, or that they're in kind of a funk, you know, from what happened last season, which was really last week. I mean, which was really it was a knockout game. Like, Oregon's out of the mix for the college football playoff. There's really only one Pac-12 team that's in the mix anymore, and it is, of all teams, Washington State. And Mike Leach, the foremost critic of Pac-12 officiating behind the scenes.
Isn't that awesome?
It's pretty awesome. And I mean, I got to tell you, like, you know, we sit down at the beginning of the year, examine the teams, who's coming back, all of these factors. I really thought this was going to be kind of a rebuilding year for Washington State. You know, they lost their defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch. He went to coach at Ohio State. You know, that they, you know, the whole quarterback situation with Tyler Helinski and all of that. And no one really knew if Gardner Minshew was going to be that good coming over from what I think was East Carolina. Yeah. And all of those things. Plus, you had Washington, Stanford, and Oregon in the north, right? Like, the probably the three best teams in the league. Here they are. Mm-hmm. Washington State, right in the mix. The team that really – the only team that has any sort of chance – to make the playoff, which would, of course, require them to win out and then have some other things happen. But they're there.
You know, again, going back to Kevin Sumlin's press conference, he was asked about the state of the Pac-12 South. You know, there's a lot of teams that are 3-2, 2-3. It's just this big mess. Everybody's, like Damian Alameda said, everybody's jockeying for just trying to win the South. Kevin Sumlin said, well, I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm only worried about what's going on here, which, I mean, you'd want that out of the head coach, but I was expecting him to say a little bit more.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I think he's just being realistic, right? Yeah. I mean, even though they're technically, what, a one game out of first in the division, I mean, he knows that in the state that they're in right now, with all of the injuries that they have, the lack of depth, et cetera, that they're probably not really legit contenders. Plus, they have head-to-head losses against USC and against Utah. And against UCLA, not that UCLA is necessarily in that mix, but I mean, again, that's a lot to overcome. If I were to handicap the race right now, I like Utah. Don't you? I mean, the way they're playing, they're killing people. They fell behind kind of in fluky fashion against USC 14-0, and then they just steamrolled them. Mm-hmm. They've won 3 in a row. They've scored, I think, 40-plus points in all three of those games.
and all they in the Pac-12 weekly awards, they swept offensive, defensive, and special teams.
Yep. So they've really got it rolling. We talked on our podcast a couple weeks ago, Ryan and I, about how they have an identity. You know, they're going to be physical. They're going to have the best special teams units in the league. I don't know what Arizona's identity is as of yet, and I don't know what it's going to be. And it might change if, you know, Grant Gunnell comes in here next year and is the starting quarterback, because that's a totally, again, that's a different style of player than what you're getting with a Khalil Tate, right? Mm-hmm. That's a pocket passer, distribute the ball kind of attack versus, you know, zone reads and mixing in quarterback runs and so forth. My biggest positive takeaway from this past week was that Arizona ran the ball. And I know when I asked Kevin Sumlin about that, he didn't really agree with my premise that maybe there was something wrong with the running game, because he pointed out how, you know, J.J. Taylor's got something like 800 yards, and he almost ran for 300 yards against Oregon State. But if you isolate those two games, the Oregon State and Southern Utah games, those are really the only two games where the running game was effective. Right,
and those teams are bad.
Right? Every other game they had 150 really yards or less, and I think the 150 took 50 carries to get there. Okay, so this was more of that type of performance against, to me, a higher quality opponent. If they can do that, control the clock a little bit, that helps your defense and it helps your quarterback, no matter who it is.
And you know, J.J. Taylor, he had one run that you posted in your Wildcats Rewind where he went around the side. It was holding on Michael Eltis.
It was on Donovan Lye.
Yeah.
You couldn't see it from that angle. Then they showed a replay, and they just got the number wrong. It should have been 78, not 75, because Michael didn't really block anyone on that play. So I don't know how you could hold anyone. But both he and Gary Brightwell ran really well in that game. And it's just a total shame that it's all kind of overshadowed by that one play, the fumble. And, you know, We talked about that a little bit during the press conference today. You know, it was brought up whether he should have switched hands with the ball or whatever. But I don't know if a guy's right behind you, like, what is the outside? You're supposed to put the ball in your outside arm. But if the guy's right behind you, there is no outside. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where you have to sense that someone's behind you. Or maybe you look up and you look at the scoreboard or the video board, and maybe you can see. I've seen players do that. Yeah. You know, they look and see if anyone is right around them. Obviously, JJ just didn't sense it quickly enough. He did peek, but by the time he peeked, you know, the punch had happened already. But if they continue to run like that and the line continues to block like that, that at least gives them a chance to shorten games and stay in the game against more talented opponents.
And with a banged up Leigh Frick, he was asked, Kevin Sumlin was asked today, he's like, well, was that one of your better performances out of the offensive line? He said, no, we could always be better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you talk about the run game. That was one of their better rushing attacks all season long against the better opponent.
I mean, I think you can say yes to that and say we can be better.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the point he was trying to make.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't settle for a 1-point loss at UCLA and say that that's good enough, right?
Yeah.
He wants to raise the standards around here. And, if you looked at my report card after the game, I gave a lot of good grades, right? But it was just one of those situations where the whole was less than the sum of the parts.
Okay.
You know, they didn't win the game. You know, some stuff happened that prevented them from winning the game. And I think, you know, the message that he's trying to get across is, yeah, we had a good rushing attack. Yeah, the offensive line played better. Yeah, we had all these tackles for losses, but we didn't win. Why did that happen? What can we do to change that? You can't be satisfied with a loss, even though it was only by 1 point.
You've been impressed with the two edge rushers for Arizona, and J.B. Brown and Jalen Harris. Really young guys that have kind of carved their own roles with this defense. What do you like out of those two guys?
Yeah. What's interesting about that is that, you know, Kylan Wilborn, for whatever reason, has been just kind of a non-factor for the most part. We haven't seen the production out of him. And you don't think of this, but they're all in the same class. You sort of think of Kylan as being older because he played so much last year and those guys didn't. They're all second-year players. So there's still room for growth with all of them. Jalen Harris, you like the size, right? I mean, he's long, he's tall, he's 6'4", he's got long arms, He has literally has room for growth with his body. He's 230 pounds now. He was talking last week about maybe getting up to 260. I mean, I think if he can get to the 245, 250 range, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about like an all Pac-12 type of player by his senior year, right? Mm. He's quick off the ball, plays with really good effort, has the long arms that, you know, can use his hands to get around people. J.B. Brown is someone who played middle linebacker before, right? So you know he's got the footwork of a linebacker, yet he's able to move around pretty well at like 260 plus pounds.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of quickness from him, a lot of really first step, was able to beat the tackle like right off the snap. So to me, that's a good foundation. Now, Kevin mentioned, you know, that P.J. Johnson's presence has helped them a lot, and I would agree with that.
Yeah.
The problem is, I don't know if P.J. Johnson's going to be back next year.
Yeah.
He's listed as a redshirt junior, but he's in his fifth year. He redshirted his first year at Sac State, then played, then redshirted, and then played at City College of San Francisco. So that's four, and then this year is five, okay? Plus, he's got two kids, you know, so he's got mouths to feed. He might have put himself on the NFL radar. I mean, I could see if, let's say, he lost about 15 pounds, got in really good shape with the talent he has, maybe sneaking into the end of the draft or, you know, getting into a camp as a free agent. I mean, you know, 300-plus-pound guys who can move like he can, they're hard to find, right?
You're going to get a spot.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if he's going to be back next year, which, again, goes back to, you know, why they've been pursuing these junior college offensive and defensive linemen. They know they need beef. In the middle of the defense and the offense. Mm-hmm. You know, on the other side of the ball, I would feel pretty good. I tweeted this out. I would feel pretty good about Donovan Lai and Cody Creason being your starting tackles next year. You know, then the question becomes, you know, who's in the middle, right? How do you fill out those other three spots?
Robert Conjol, probably.
Robert Conjol, you think, is going to compete for the center position next year. Michael Eltis, very up and down. Watching him pretty closely, like sometimes, like he'll be on a double team block, and you're like, man, this guy's so strong, he's so powerful, and then other times, you know, he just looks kind of unathletic, not really moving well in space. I mean, I saw him make the tackle on that interception. I don't know if you remember this, like the interception in the end zone, like the guy ran it out, Eltis like ran over and just absolutely killed him on the sideline. It made me think, like, maybe he's a candidate to move to defense. You know, maybe he would be better as a nose guard where he's not required to move laterally as much and he can just use his strength to go forward or occupy blockers. I mean, it's happened before where guys have moved from defense to offense or offense to defense. So anyway, that's just my workshopping.
I like it in my head a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, looks like these Arizona football players are coming out into the weight room. You can hear, as you probably tell by the loud music and the boom in the background. So that will do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. We'll be back for a basketball podcast on Wednesday and a football podcast. We're going to be back at Frog and Firkin this Thursday, Michael.
Three more home games, which means three more appearances at Frog and Firkin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, come out, say hi if you want. It's a pretty cool little setup we've got going there. You can come and have lunch, have a cocktail or whatever.
You a cocktail guy?
Not really, no. No, man. My wife drinks wine pretty much every night, you know, to just kind of chill at the end of the night. I don't usually partake, no.
Not a wine guy.
I'm boring. I'm an old, boring married guy, so sorry.
Well.
I wish I were more interesting.
Well,
honestly.
You're interesting, Michael.
I appreciate that.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Again, subscribe to the pod on Apple Podcasts and download the Wildcaster app available on the App Store and Google Play. For Michael, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Pima Federal Credit Union. Pima Federal Credit Union is always looking for ways to save their members time and money, which is why they offer completely free checking with convenient options for banking on the go. Manage your accounts online, access over 55,000 fee-free ATMs nationwide, and easily deposit checks from your phone with their mobile app. Visit www.pimafederal.org to learn about the many ways their members save. Pima Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.